forgot to mention during our time of prayer, let's continue to remember Reverend Derek and Pam as they're off in Japan traveling with family. Let's continue to remember them and pray for their safety. They should be returning, or they will be returning this coming week. Not should be, they will. And we also lift up and remember Pastor Jeannie and Mark and Emma as they have some time in Hawaii. So they're out enjoying some time there. So let's remember them in our prayers as well. Let us pray. Loving God, we ask that you open our hearts this morning, that you speak to us a word, whatever that may be, and that we would receive this hour. But not only that, O Lord, that we would somehow be propelled and transformed to take action. And may the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This has been a really difficult week. As we heard the news from this past Wednesday and continue to process and trying to understand and make sense of the killing and death of 17 people in Parkland, Florida, after a former student opened fire on students and teachers, killing young ones as young as 14 years old. We grieve alongside those who are mourning, especially the parents, grandparents, the siblings of those who died. And we grieve alongside the students who lost their friends to yet another act of gun violence. But as a spiritual community, as a Christian community, Christ calls us to care for, and to pray for those who are hurting. But after this becomes so routine, friends, we're called to more than just our prayers. Christ calls us to some sort of tangible action and participation to make a difference. We need to do so much more when it comes to action and participation. Action in the form of creating spaces for conversation of what happened, not only in the church, but maybe it's in a small group that we start up here at the church. Or perhaps it's signing and supporting petitions that support gun safety and reduce gun violence. This is the third school mass shooting since the start of the year. And it's February. Let's just think about that for a moment. The third school shooting in the United States, mid-February. And another stark reality is that here in the United States, we lose one person to gun violence every 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Do we not value life? These are the questions that were running through my mind and should be running through our minds. Do we not value life? Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and the beginning of our sermon series on spiritual practices. It was great seeing many of you this past Wednesday, and I was so consumed in preparing and thinking about this Wednesday, I didn't hear about the shooting until later in the evening. I wish I would have known and created a space during our gathering where we could have lifted up prayers for those families. But we have that space now. Ash Wednesday marked the beginning of this Lenten season. And we were invited to remember our own mortality. Receiving ashes on our foreheads or on our hands, being reminded that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. One of the most common questions asked of us during Lent is, what do people ask you? So, what are you going to give up this year? What are you giving up for Lent? Maybe you've been asked it already. But what does Lent really mean beyond that question? I confess, there are times where I, it might be chocolate this year, it might be a certain type of candy. But we often reduce the Lenten season of giving up something like chocolates or something within our diet. Maybe it's a diet soda, or something that we find to be a weakness within our lives in giving it up until Easter. But by doing this, the season of Lent can sometimes become more of a trivial season where we do some rearranging and reorganizing and juggling in order to come out on top of what we want. But friends, Lent is so much more than that. Lent is a season of intentional and purposeful spiritual practice. So for the next six Sundays, we're going to be doing some practicing. We're going to be highlighting a spiritual practice each Sunday for us to engage in, which you may already be doing. This is a season, the season of Lent, is a time of being invited by God to remember who we could have been, but haven't. And it's a time that invites us to embrace the type of world we could have today, but oftentimes don't. It's a time for us to wrestle and to look deeply into our own lives and to ask the hard questions. Who are we? Who am I? How am I treating my neighbor? What am I doing to respond to what's happening in the world today? Wherever you find yourself today in this season of your life, whether you consider yourself to be someone of deep faith, or maybe it's a time in your life where you might be kind of away and distant from God and from community. Friends, we are reminded as we worship today that God desires you, that this Lenten season is a time where God is reaching out to you, inviting you to a close and deep and intimate relationship with God. This past Ash Wednesday was so significant, not just for the purpose of reminding us that our life will indeed end someday, but what's important to remember from Ash Wednesday and this Lenten season is that we have so much work to do between now and until that time, wherever we are. So much to be done in our lives and in this community and in the world. Together along this walk, my hope is that we might discover this life abundant that God calls us to each and every day, not just Sunday, but every single day. Our hope and prayer as a pastoral staff, as we had gotten together with Reverend Derek, Pastor Jeannie, and Nicole, is that we would apply these spiritual practices with a goal of reorienting and focusing our lives on loving God and loving neighbor. The season of Lent began this past Wednesday and continues all the way through Holy Saturday, the day before Easter. These 40 days, we're reminded of Jesus spending time in the wilderness, fasting as he began his ministry. Jesus spent this time in the wilderness praying, fasting, and preparing for the journey that would eventually take him to the cross and his resurrection. And in the same way, we take this time of reflection to surrender our lives and ourselves to God in anticipation of the joy that comes with Easter. So our hope and prayer is that we would begin to practice from now until Easter. Today's spiritual practice is the practice of being in the community of small groups. And small groups are different. There's different types of small groups. The choir could be a small group. We have folks that gather, BLT, that gather once a month. That could be a small group as well. But we have so many different groups that gather for different purposes, different reasons, but for the purpose of being in intentional community, being in a space where you could share your life with others, where you could hold one another accountable to your faith, where you could share your stresses and joys to each other and lift each other up. Part of my health insurance plan through the annual conference, I get these phone calls from so-called coaches. They talk to me about my health and my fitness and exercise, and they give me these periodic phone calls. They're always cheerful people on the other end of the line talking about my nutrition, what I'm eating, how often I should be exercising, basically giving me encouragement to stay healthy. As one call finished up recently, the coach on the other end of the line said, "Do you have any questions of what we need to be doing?" And this was my response. I said, "No, I know what to do. I really just have to do it." Doesn't that response sound familiar? "No, I know what to do. I just have to do it." For many of us that are, for some of us that are in the healthcare profession, or maybe those of us who are teachers, how often have we heard patients and students say this to us? "I know what to do. I just have to do it. But does it ever get done? Not very often. That is so true when it comes to our lives of discipleship and the Christian journey. We know what we're supposed to do to grow spiritually. We're reminded how we are to follow Christ, to do good in our communities. But without encouragement and accountability, we struggle. That's the reality. That's what small groups are for. And at this time, I want to invite up Don and Harry, Don Sakaguchi Tang and Harry, to come on up. They're just going to share a few words to share their experience of being in small group and what it means for them and what they experience. So let me grab a microphone for you, Don.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Dawn, and Harry's in Sunday school with my son Evan, and I also have a baby named Adam. He's about 5 months. So I'm just going to share my experience in being in this church and being a part of a small group. So New Year's Eve 2015 turned out to be one of our family's scariest moments, but it was also the event that led us here to Blaine. On that New Year's Eve, Harry had a very searing pain, and so we went to the ER. And a typical mundane procedure to remove a gallstone ended up being something much more complicated. The gallstone in Harry's gallbladder, it burst, and it caused an acute pancreatitis, and some other stuff happened that time too. So Harry stayed in the hospital for several weeks. Those weeks were like a roller coaster. It was full of confusion and fear. Harry went from a regular hospital room to graduated care and then into the ICU. He was in a lot of pain, and the doctors had a difficult time figuring out the best way to treat him. So there was a lot of trial and error. But eventually, he did get better, and it prompted us to think of our lives and about our future. And we've been wanting to go to church, but we've never did it. So this event really pushed us into action. And I shared this with my Auntie Gail Nomura, and she immediately said, "You've got to come to Blaine." And so after a few months, when Harry was all better, we did. It was around this time of the year, around Easter time. I think Easter Sunday was the first time we came. And we continued to come, and over the weeks that follow, I got to meet people. I even was able to sit in the Bugs, the ukulele group, for a quarter. I'm a student, and they allowed me to observe their group in practice. It was really fun. So our family was enjoying our time in Blaine, and we wanted to be more connected and more active. And at that time, Dion reached out to us and invited us to join a small group. We didn't know exactly what that meant, but it sounded like a good way to meet people. So our small group is made up of parents of young kids. We've been meeting for over a year, and we always have a good time. We have good conversation around good food. We chat about what's been happening in our lives, like kids, work, and even aromatherapy. However, we do more than that. Dion and Sarah have done a really great job leading the group into deeper conversations about faith and about our relationship with God. We've been working through the Animate series, which are short videos that are entertaining and provoke interesting conversations, such as the one we had about salvation. We really dug into that conversation about what salvation really is, what it means to us, and how does that look like in action. I don't think we left with a clear answer, but it did leave a lasting impression on me. These conversations about faith and about the United Methodist Church have been really helpful for a newcomer like me. I have found that the small group is an unintimidating way environment to ask really basic questions about the church and about God. I think the impact of being in a small group for us has been seeing how comfortable Evan has become and the friendships he has made with other kids in the group. When we first started the small group, Evan really clung to either Harry or I. So we took turns hanging out with him and the kids, and while one of us was sitting with the adults. So one of us was always missing out on the conversation. But as he has grown older and more mature, and as we've been consistently meeting each other, he has become more and more confident. And to our surprise, he has even contributed to group conversations when Dion has asked questions to the kids. So we were surprised by that. He has come to know that Auntie Terry and Uncle Joe's house, when we go there, there'll be mandarin oranges and apple juice boxes and even an activity that's planned. And that at Uncle Dion and Auntie Sarah's house, there'll be toys to play with and a long staircase that he can slide down with Lily and Emma. So when we set out to join the church, we wanted to be a part of a community, but we didn't know what to expect. What we've gained from the small group and really from this church have been lasting friendships, deeper relationships with family, and a place to explore our faith. We feel we are just at the beginning and are excited for this year as our small group is exploring ways to help the community and planning community service projects. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing, taking the time to share your story, your testimony. I think we need more of that here, to be able to hear from one another about how God is moving and inspiring and challenging us. So get ready when you're called, when it's your turn. So praise God. Thank you for that. The original Methodist, John Wesley, they met in small groups. They worshiped. They gathered in community. They had a different name for them. They called them societies and classes. But really the purpose of their gathering was to remind one another to do no harm by avoiding evil of every kind, to do good to all people, to as many people as you can each and every day, and to attend to all the ordinances of God, participating in worship, praying, being in community, and asking one another the question, how is it with your soul? How are you doing? How are you really doing? And Don, thank you so much for that and reminding us that we in this community at Blaine have that opportunity to be in a small group. Maybe you're in one, maybe you're not. Maybe you've thought about it, but weren't quite sure, quite ready. Well, I'm here this morning to say if you have an idea, if you have a thought of creating a small group, let's do it. As you look in your in the pews, you'll see these prayer community cards, our communication cards, these care cards. We always ask folks to write down their prayer requests. But if you sense or have that desire or openness to explore maybe joining a small group, write that down. I'm going to take a look at this. We're going to take a look at this. So if you're interested in joining a small group, whether it's through a book study, a Bible study, fill that out, write that down, and write, I'm interested in small group, and we'll follow up with you. So the challenge this Lenten season, as a pastoral staff, we want to encourage you and challenge you to do something different this Lenten season, something different. We have 40 days between now and Resurrection Sunday. Whether it's giving up one thing and replacing that thing with a whole new spiritual practice. But this week's spiritual practice is the challenge of being in community through a small group. So friends, I ask you to ponder that and to ask yourselves, how is God inviting me this season to be in a small group? That we would begin to participate in the life transformative experience of sharing your story with one another in small group. Let us pray. Holy One, thank you for this time and for the reminder that the season of Lent is about far more than fasting or prayer, but it's about gaining a better understanding and perspective of what it means to follow Jesus and the example of Jesus. As we give ourselves fully to your mission of loving you and loving neighbor. Holy Spirit, empower us and encourage us to practice making space for you this Lenten season. Transform us, mold us to be your hands and feet in the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.